This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network. We are back with episode 78, and I have no idea what the heck is going on. Andy's working some voodoo magic on me. It's impressing me. I have no idea. I'm speechless. Andy, can you tell the people what's happening right now?
Yeah, so we decided that this podcast is not convoluted enough, so now we're going to have try to have more of a video element. So we are currently streaming this, which is fun, but it's getting streamed to a secret location because this is a dry run, I guess you'd call it. I was thinking about what's going to be the topic of today's podcast, because James and I usually throughout the week, it's like, oh, what do you want to talk about? Do we have any guests? Like, what should we do? And I was thinking about what would be fun, and a little game popped in my head, and I was like, oh, so, but the problem is with being podcasts, you need your viewers to see what you're seeing. So I was like, how am I going to get around this? Well, you know, some of the other hosts here on the Hockey Podcast Network have been doing live streams and streaming to StreamYard. And, you know, I jumped myself and Shane from the Senators podcast had live streamed some draft coverage a couple weeks ago. So I said, you know what? Now's the time to give Rangers fans, or at least and fans of the Hockey Podcast Network, what they want. And yeah, so hopefully this works out. If you are listening to this as a podcast on any of your favorite podcast providers, don't worry. It's not necessary, but there will be I'll describe anything that you might not be able to see, but you can definitely follow along. And, but yeah, this should be an interesting one. So please bear with us if there's any technical issues, but I think everything's working so far.
This looks unbelievable. I mean,
I am a Photoshop, novice. But yeah, Canva makes everything very easy.
So I feel like I'm on center ice at the Garden right now, and I thought I was a genius when I got this thing. Thank God we have the visual element now, because this thing to go over the mic, I couldn't get it to stand up. I didn't realize it actually it screws into the bottom. I thought it was just all one piece. So when I got this thing to stand up, I thought, like, man, I could just be a producer with it. Like, once I figured this thing out, so. You know, we're all making headway here, and it looks good. At least I look good. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, no. And like I said, for today, I was thinking about what would be the perfect, especially free agency for Rangers fans kind of fizzled out in that everyone thought we were going to make huge splashes. And it looks like everyone's pretty much coming back, minus losing Jesper Fast, and getting rid of Mark Stahl and replacing with Jack Johnson. And obviously we had some lower depth signings with Kevin Rooney and Anthony Boteto and the guys like that. But so I was thinking about, and you and I have talked about this, is that next season, are the Rangers a better team or are they a worse team? Will there be improvement? Will there be regression? If so, in what areas will they balance each other out? These are all kind of unknown questions. So I was really thinking about how do we figure this out? And being the genius that I am, I devised a machine, a very powerful machine of my own creation. Let me see if I can pull this up. Where are you? Ah, here we go. So James, I would like to present to you my greatest creation. Hold on. Where are you? Where are you? Here he is. Behold. One sec. Sorry. Behold, the official Broadway Boys podcast multi-input comparator. Trademark.
All right. All right. Like this.
Yes. Here we go. So if you'll notice, I have a Word document in which I put the entire roster of last year's team on the left and the entire roster of this coming year's team on the right, with little notes for players that were who have left and who are added. And I thought we go one by one, and we're going to say which version of the player will have had the better season, or will have had the better season at the end of next year. So at the end of next season, will we say Chris Kreider in 2019-20 had a better season, or Chris Kreider in the 2021 season had a better season, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. And then
finally something starts to make sense here.
Exactly. And then you'll be able to look at it, which, it's one thing to talk about it, but if you just look and we see, I'll say, you'll figure it out as we go along. And if for you listening at home, you can't see this beautiful Word document I made in 30 seconds. Basically, we will just be able to say at the end how many players will have had a better season next year or will have probably regressed and had a worse season. And then we can talk about how it looks and, what our thoughts are on, honestly, what areas are they're going to be improved and what areas are probably will not be improved. So, James, are you ready?
I'm ready to rock. This is awesome.
All right, here we go. All right, so let's starting with the Chris Kreider. Now, I should probably pull up his stats from last season to make things easy. So I'm going to do that. Sorry, let me just go in the Rangers roster.
Yeah, I got the Hockey DB up right now. So
great. If you got it up, tell me how Chris Kreider's stat line for last year.
You can pretty much, Chris Kreider, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's basically a 40 to 50 point player. 45 points, 24 goals, and 21 assists.
Okay. So my question to you, James, is this. Chris Kreider, next season.
And also, it's important to note, I think, Andy, sorry to cut you off, but I think it's important to note that this season, it's not based off the 82-game season. So we're going to be throwing around points, and you have to realize that the Rangers only played 70 games, and some of these guys only played in the mid-60s. So if they seem low, just know that it's not based off the 82-game schedule.
That's a very good point. So we're prorating these stats. So, we can maybe extrapolate. And also, who knows how many games they get to play next season, right? But
right.
I think we'll just, we'll toss these numbers around, but we'll think that at the end of the day, for the advantage, we'll think big picture, does he have a better season or a worse season? Is he more effective or less effective?
Okay.
So as far as Kreider goes, like you said, every year it's like you pretty much know what you're getting. I assume Kreider would have exceeded 50 points had the full regular season been played last year. And that's pretty much what he is at this point. He's a support player who can drive possession and help dig out pucks for your line. And if you put him with players that are better than him in a, whether that's Mika Zibanejad or Pavel Buchnevich, he can put up commiserate stats with them. He probably won't not as lofty as them, but he can float in that area. So definitely not a drag. But I guess the question is this season is how long does Kreider stay in the top six with the addition of Alexi Lafreniere? And I think that's the biggest thing. He's, you assume that if at some point, if Lafreniere, like all Rangers fans think he should, is able to jump into the top six or make, even if he starts on the third, makes his way up, Kreider's either switching to his offside, which who knows if that hurts his output, or he gets moved down to the third line. So I think right out of the gate, I think you can say that Chris Kreider will most likely maybe be at a slight disadvantage next season and probably will have a regression.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to maybe disagree with you there. Mm. So I think since Quinn knows this season overall, the Rangers might be taking a step backwards with their roster, I think you'll see Kreider promoted to more of a leadership role, and he'll get a little bit more ice time. He'll be playing with Mika, and I think with the young kids, I think Quinn will really put them in a role where they're not taking the brunt of the media in terms of production. I really think he'll ride his horses. He'll ride the experience, and he'll kind of try to develop those players and not really throw them to the wolves. And I know Alexis Lafreniere is a special player, and he probably can be in a situation where he can handle playing top six forward minutes. But I think he'll be a little bit sheltered, and only because the overall structure of the Rangers is not really cohesive to him playing those bigger minutes.
All right. So, I think he might be a little bit worse. You think he might be a little bit better. Do we say that's a wash? Do we say it's his output is equal? Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, so we should keep note of like who's right. I mean, I think he'll have more points than he did last year. I mean, you know, obviously playing the full 82 games that's based on.
Yeah. Had I had known, I would have made an extra cell here, and we could have had an Andy and a James column, because that would just be yet another input for the multi-input comparator, which would make the results even better. But I didn't think about that. But whatever. So we're going to put even for advantage right now.
All right.
Next, Mika Zibanejad.
All right, I'll start this one off. I don't think Mika's going to be able to create that sort of season that he had last year. It's going to be really tough. I'm going to say it's a little bit of a digression, but not so significant where you're, you know, ready to, you know, chop his head off. So I'm going to say a slight tick back in his point production, but I think you'll see him, you know, dominate some games and, you know, really take control and be a good leader for these kids.
Yeah. I think if anything, you might think that his goal output is not going to be as torrid. I don't know if he scores 40 goals, even in a shortened season, but yeah, he might still float around close to the same point total. He's in his prime right now. So, you know, barring getting injured or anything. So we'll say that Mika in 2019-20 just was on fire at one point. Now, why is it underlined? Whatever. So advantage to the 2019-2020 Mika and slight disadvantage to the 2020-2021. Pavel Buchnevich.
Okay.
No,
you start this one.
Well, Buchnevich, I am a Buch guy, and I've been ready for him to break out for a while. And, you know, instead of breaking out, he always just gets slightly better every season. So I think at the very worst, he gets slightly better as he's more comfortable. He's, you know, Quinn has been able to pull that physicality out of him, and it has changed how he plays. And, you know, he's definitely been more effective, and his underlying numbers have been extremely good forever. So I don't know, you know, at this point, I think I'm done waiting for the coming out party. But at the same time, I think that, yeah, I just, for whatever reason, I think he's going to have a better season this year. I don't think when Lafreniere comes in, I don't know if he's the one who gets demoted, although you might say that he's been in Quinn's doghouse before. But I just think that at a certain point, I just, for whatever reason, I don't think it's going to be him. And if he does, I could see him actually producing on a lower line with less, you know, if he gets put on the third line with Hedl. Those two had some chemistry at times. So yeah, I think Butch, you know, I should probably look at his point totals from last year, but yeah, I think Butch has a better season. Here we go. Pavel Buchnevich. Yeah. So Hockey Reference makes it so difficult. Here we go. So yeah, Butch had 46 points in 68 games played. So again, he also would have broken 50 points. Yeah, I think at the end of next season, he's probably floating just under 60 points. So, but I think he'll probably have a slightly better season. Nothing earth shattering, but I just feel like he's gotten a little bit better every year. How old is Butch now? I always forget. He's only 24. People forget that. So he'll be kind of entering that sweet spot. He'll be 25 next season. He's finally kind of gotten Quinn's confidence. He's been getting more physical every year. So
I'm going to disagree with you.
Oh boy.
But I'm stepping on the gas here. I think Butch has an insane year. I think he'll hit the 25 goal mark. I think he'll break 65 points. And I think, well, you left one major point out, Andy. He's playing for a contract. So you're going to get the best Butch you've ever seen this year. You're going to see no smiling whatsoever. Maybe one smirk, maybe one smirk a week on the bench after he makes a bonehead play or misses a wide open net. So I love Butch this season. He's going to get a ton of minutes. He's going to be playing with Mika Zibanejad. He's going to be looked to as a leader on this team with, you know, the experience, since we have such a young up and coming team. Again, I love Butch this year. Mark him down for 25 goals.
All right. So I'm going to give him advantage to the 2021 New York Rangers version of Pavel Buchnevich. It's amazing. I've created a machine that can clone these guys, and let us know. All right. The bread man himself, Artemi Panarin.
I really don't. I don't want to say it, but I think,
yeah,
again, it's like almost like
he had such a magical season that it's almost unfair. And it's not even a diss to say like, oh, he, you know, he's, I still think he is, you know, floats around, you know, a 90 to 100 point player. It's just, yeah, it's just not going to be, everything went right for him last year. And yeah, who knows? I mean, whether it's, we might see some rotation in the,
and not to mention his line is gone. Like, I mean, I know they're looking right now, they're as close as ever to signing Strome.
Yeah.
Jesper Fast is gone. So I think there's a lot of question marks on who he's with. And if he jumps out of the gate with a little bit of slow start, looking to build some chemistry with some new players,
yeah,
it could be difficult for him. So again, yeah, like you said, last year was magical.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry, Brad, but nothing to, damn it. Sorry. It's always underlining. This machine is still finicky. I put it together last night. Yeah. Well, which brings us to our next player, Ryan Strome. Now, this is obviously, like you said, it sounded by all accounts that the Rangers and Strome are close to agreeing on a deal. It probably will most likely be like a short 2-year deal, as they were looking with Tony and Georgiev. I think they just want to get past the season with COVID and see what they have. And, you know, now with, you have Lafreniere coming in, how does that pan out? Cause at a certain point we understand, and the front office understands, they're going to have to be losing bodies and looking to promote from below with their prospects. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I obviously think Strome goes as Panarin goes, considering they stay together. Right. So, and yeah, if Panarin has a worse season, and I say worse, you know, in loose terms, but if Panarin isn't able to recapture the magic, then I don't see how Strome is as big a benefactor as he was last season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who gets plugged into the Jesper spot position. I mean, who do you think right now will be taking that role?
Well, I think Kako, who especially in the bubble, was riding shotgun with those two, you know, at times, because he was one of the only players who had it going. And even, you know, Strome early on in the bubble looked like he was moving his legs pretty well. But yeah, I think you're going to see Panarin, Strome, Kako as that second line. You know, I think it starts Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, you know, Mika Bucci, you know, Panarin, Strome, Kako, and at some point Lafreniere, who will start on the third line as is Quinn's MO, will jump up, and either Bucci jumps, slots down, Kreider slots down, you know, Kreider moves over to the other side, so Bucci slots down. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Or who knows, maybe reports in camp they have Lafreniere trying to take faceoffs, and where everyone's like, what is going on? But
yeah, you know.
But yeah, I got to say Ryan Strome in last season definitely has the advantage in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm a little worried with, that's 2/3 of the ice that could give up a lot of scoring opportunities to go the other way. You know, Jesper Foss was, you know, he could play defense. Kako could be a defensive liability in his, you know, second real season. So,
yeah. So this one's an interesting one because, yeah, as you can see, Jesper Foss is no longer with the team. So Jesper Foss goes out and Alexi Lafreniere comes in. And obviously that's just based on top six player in air quotes, because there was debate at times over whether Jesper Foss was truly a top six player, but he was playing in the top six for, you know, with Panarin for a time. So, and we also know that it's most likely that even if Lafreniere starts on a third line, he will ascend up the lineup. So let's say Jesper Foss versus Alexi Lafreniere. Who has the better season? I mean,
we all know the answer to this question, but it's also his first year in the NHL. Like,
yeah,
he's like, Jesper Foss has been there, done that. He's seen everything. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him. I honestly think Jesper Foss, probably the most reliable New York Rangers we've had on our roster, you know, over the past decade. Like, he's been through everything. You can plug him in anywhere. Alexis Lafreniere is going to have some adjustment time. And honestly, listen, I love Lafreniere, but we are the New York Rangers. So I don't know if we're going to get like a Sidney Crosby-esque, you know, player first year coming out of the gate hot. So I'm going to have to give the advantage to a Jesper Foss of last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look at it this way. Fast had in 69 games played, he had 29 points. Now you can argue that if you want to prorate that to a full season, you know, maybe he's got 30, let's say 35 points just to be conservative, right?
Yep.
You know, I think that's doable for him. 35 points. Lafreniere will most likely, you know, fans are hoping will have at least some be floating around 50 points as a rookie. You know, you hear Craig Button saying like, oh, he'll have a 60 point campaign. I think it's a little rich, especially considering, you know, there's so much competition in the top six that he might have to work his way there. And who knows if he gets power play time off the bat or if he starts on the second power play. We just don't know. So I think conservatively, if we say Jesper Fast at 30 points plus everything he brings, you know, everything he brings defensively to this team and his versatility and his penalty killing versus Lafreniere being a 50 point player, but at the same time, we'll be having to feel out, play away from the puck, won't be playing on the power play. Or I'm sorry, excuse me, on the penalty kill. And if he plays on the power play, it'll most likely be starting on power play two and we'll have to work his way, you know, and prove he is a better option than the elder statesman guys. So, yeah, honestly, for me, that kind of makes it a little bit of a wash that I'd say the 20 points, but
watch that.
We'll wash it. We'll say,
watch back, you know, but we can't have a visual of us saying Jesper Fast is greater than
exactly. The fans will be, the podcast will be all over us.
Yeah.
But I assume people at home understand what we're saying. It's like, obviously offensively in terms of driving play, there's no competition here, but at the same time, you know, it's unfortunately ice time is what it is. And guys cannot be on the ice for the full game. So yeah, for a full 60 minutes. So Jesper Fast's ability to eat up minutes that Lafreniere would not be getting. Yeah. That has an effect. So we're going to say it's a wash just in terms, but this is probably the only season it would ever be a wash. And it still might not be a wash. It might just, if Lafreniere is everything that's been promised and out of the gate, you know, are lost in the fanfare of Alexi Lafreniere is our former favorite son, Kaapo Kakko, although I still love him. But yeah, obviously a difficult rookie season for him. Last year, everyone had assumed he would be able to, because he was a little bit more physically mature, he would be able to make a bigger impact and a bigger jump. Still didn't have a terrible season for a rookie, but it's just for a second overall pick. You know, not that Doc or Jack Hughes had any more success. They were honestly, they all kind of finished with the same stat line or relatively. And I think just goes to show that how difficult it is when we're talking about an adjustment period for Lafreniere. It's that, you know, highly touted players coming in and making immediate effective impacts is not the norm. It's outliers, you know. So as far as Kakko goes, if we get the Kakko we saw in the bubble, I don't know how you don't think he has a better season. You know, I think he's going to have more with Jesper Fast leaving. I think he's going to get more time in the top six with Panarin and Strome. He's going to be more confident. He already looked faster. He already looked bigger. He already looked more decisive. And if that's especially if at some point you're going to get some weird combination of him playing minutes with Hedl, I think they'll be better. Hell, honestly, if you imagine an opening on opening night, there's a third line of Kakko, Hedl, and Lafreniere. Like, that's a pretty scary line. You know, I don't know if the coaching staff would do that from a defensive standpoint, because Hedl is the only one they would probably be comfortable with. And even that, he's still kind of rounding out his developing game, you know, away from the puck. But that'd be a hell of a third line and matchup nightmare. So I actually think Kaapo, you know, I don't think this is a surprise to anyone. I think Kakko is going to have a better season, you know, next year.
Yeah, there's no excuse for him not to have a better season. I mean, everything's turned up Kakko. The way he played in the bubble was night and day compared to his regular season. He's going to have a year under his belt to feel a little bit more comfortable playing against NHL competition. He's going to have the spotlight off of him since the Rangers now have Alexis Lafreniere. He will be playing the right side and hopefully be playing with some better talent. Obviously, you know, anyone that plays with Panarin should get a boost in numbers just simply because how amazing he is. So, yeah, everything's going to be turning up Kakko for sure. I think he has an exceptional year this year. I really think he makes a big, big leap in terms of, you know, playing more of his style game.
Well said. Well, you know, so speaking of youngsters, Filip Hedl, started in Hartford, didn't they were hoping that right out of training camp in the beginning of the last season that he would be able to quickly take over that 2C spot. It didn't happen, but obviously the time in Hartford did him well, because when he came out of the gate, he came out really hot. And his defensive game was much better. Again, we forget how young, you know, Heel can, I think, can finally drink a beer now. He's 21, I think, or I think he just turned 21. So, yeah, I mean, still young, but you have to imagine that they're really looking for him to cement himself, because they've been, you could tell that the front office has really been trying to pencil him in to take Strome's place eventually. So I guess, you know, the hope is that obviously he can do that. So I think he has a better year. I think he's, you know, I don't think he's going to start the season in the AHL. So that helps, you know, he's not going to be fighting from behind. He seemed to peter out a little bit towards the end, but he looked good in the bubble. He's one of those players that, which was surprising. You know, we talked about this over the summer, how our younger guys were just kind of just playing and weren't overthinking it, because they kind of just felt like it was a learning experience for them, seemed to be the more effective players in the bubble. So yeah, I'm going to say Hedl has a better season this year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. Filip Hedl is like, I feel like he's been on a roster for like a decade now, but he's only 21. Like, people forget how young he is. He's, you know what he is? He is the kid in elementary school that he would wear a suit sometimes to school. Like, he's just, yeah, he's just always like a level above. Like, he's like almost 5 years older than Kako, but he's not, you know what I mean? So I think Filip Hedl finally elevates his game a little bit. I think you'll see him taking on a little bit bigger role this season. And I think you'll see all the young guys that we're kind of used to seeing, I think their games are going to get elevated. I really do. And I think Hedl is definitely one of those guys that, along with Buchnevich, that they've been here a couple years. We did the experiment of him starting out in the AHL. He made a joke of that league. He's an NHL player, and I think he'll be ready. He'll be ready this year.
Yeah. So a late season addition for the Rangers. They trade Joey Keane to the Carolina Hurricanes for Julien Gauthier. Now, Gauthier didn't get much ice time. He kind of was up and down, fourth line, sometimes third line. At times he was played with Panarin and Mika. That was a line for that one game, right, versus Montreal. But yeah, clearly there's a lot of raw potential there, but his play away from the puck leaves a lot to be desired, and he clearly hasn't really, you know, adjusted to thinking at the pace of the NHL. But there was good flashes. I liked some of what I saw in the bubble. When he plays in straight lines, he's going to be super effective. I guess with Gauthier, it comes down to, where does he slot it? Do they put him on a third line with Hedl and Lafreniere to start? I could see that, you know, just being a French-Canadian connection there, and with Hedl in the middle. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know if that spot goes to Lemieux, you know, especially if they want someone who they think will defensively be a little bit more responsible to play with Hedl and Lafreniere. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I am of the opinion that I don't think we're going to see much more out of Gauthier this year. I do think he's going to be looked at as more of a plug and play. I think the organization views him more as a plug in and add that element of, you know, straight line size and strength. And I think, unfortunately, that consistency might, not hurt him, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a wash, kind of, because I think the flashes we saw, they tried him up the lineup, they tried him down the lineup. I think he's going to most likely be stuck in the bottom six. And I think ice time is going to be hard for him to come by. I think that he's going to spend stints on the fourth line. So yeah, I think it's a kind of a wash, because you think he has another year of development and he'll be better. But at the same time, I don't know if his deployment will be commensurate with that.
Yeah, I'm going to say, man, this is tough. Either a wash, but more, yeah, well, I'm going to say a wash more towards the 2019-20, Julien.
It's a little.
Yes.
The beauty of the comparator.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. My reasoning basically is that I don't know where he fits in with this team just yet. If he's going to be playing that grinding role as more of like an enforcer, I don't know if he brings that much more to the table. I mean, I love his game. I really think, you know, he could be an effective player, but he's 23. He doesn't have a ton of NHL experience. You know, given how young the Rangers are, and you know, they might, I can even see him being like a healthy scratch some games. So
yeah,
over a course of an entire 82 game schedule, I'm going to say, 2019-20 Julian Gauthier is going to be a little bit better.
Hello, bonjour, hello, hi, heya, and privyet, hockey fans. Welcome to the EuroPuck Podcast, the show where two Brits talk all things European hockey as part of the Hockey Podcast Network. If you want to keep updated on all of the latest news, scores, or standings from across the European hockey world, you want to get some insight from some very interesting guests discussing their stories with hockey and how the sport grows around in Europe in different interesting places, or if you want to keep updated with all of the leagues across Europe that are either playing, have been suspended, cancelled, delayed indefinitely, then do check out our latest episodes of the EuroPuck Podcast every Friday as part of the Hockey Podcast Network. We have a YouTube channel, the EuroPuck Podcast, and you can listen to us wherever else you get your podcasts. So check us out every Fridays, and we'll see you there, folks.
All right, our favorite resident pest, Brendan Lemieux. Again, he's a guy who is firmly stapled to the bottom six, I think, or, you know, obviously on a game to game basis, sometimes if they're playing the Flyers, he might see time up in the top six just to get under some skins. But yeah, I mean, this was also a tough one. Pulp his stats from last year. So yeah, Lemieux had 18 points in 59 games. So yeah, I guess you could prorate that to maybe just shy of 30 points, just under it. Defensively, the numbers kind of show that he had a rough time last season, but yeah, I don't know. I think he's a guy who, especially with a lot of time to prepare, I think he's one of the guys who, where a longer offseason might do him more good, I think, in terms of, because with him, I think at times there was a lot of talk early on about his conditioning, and you kind of saw he would get blown up really quickly. He's a bit of a thicker frame, and those guys tend to. But yeah, I think if he's at least, you know, if he's making sure to watch his diet and he's doing cardio and he's getting on the ice, and yes, there's nothing like the real thing, but at the same time, it's like you can make. Yeah, I think if he can make necessary changes and adjust to having maybe, you know, some more, if he's got his head set on that third line, then yeah, I think there's a chance he could have a better season this year. But I am not sure. I could see it being a wash. I don't think he regresses, because I do think the Rangers clearly value what he brings, especially, you know, we didn't hear the end of it. Oh, if, you know, in the bubble, if we had only had Brendan for those first three games, maybe it'd be different. But yeah, I could see him having a better season this year. If at worst, I think a wash, but I think my hope is that he has a better season.
Yeah, I'm going to say he does have a better season, only because, again, this is a guy who we're going to need his experience with these kids. You know, don't forget our bottom six is going to need to play, you know, they're going to need to play minutes. So we can't rely on two lines just to go out there and play every single game. I think you can pencil him on the third line. We're going to need him to be feisty. We're going to need him to be the agitator. He's going to have to drop the gloves, you know, if someone takes a run at Lafreniere. I think this is, you know, you're going to see him blossom into more of, a staple role with the New York Rangers this year. I don't know what kind of contract he's going to get. What's the word on him, and what's his contract looking like? Are they going to bridge him?
I mean, it seems like they're bridging everyone. So I assume I assume that they might offer him
like a 1 year deal.
No, I think they might.
I think he'll be playing for a contract. So
maybe. Yeah. And that's a good point. I don't know with him he might be the one guy they do the 1 year show me, you know?
Yeah.
Because obviously, based on how they drafted at the draft, and they obviously want to get harder to play against. It's no secret. They've been on record saying, like, we need to get more difficult to play against. You know, they watched the way that Tampa was able to infuse their lineup with a bit more difficult, grindy, direct players, and it obviously paid the ultimate dividends for them. And that's what they're going to, this is a copycat league. That's what they're trying to do. So they obviously value his skill set and how unique it is. And obviously the intangibles are kind of hard to quantify, but it clear, you know, in terms of just how many penalties he draws, relative to how many he takes. Yeah. He's an asset. So yeah, I'm going to say advantage to this upcoming 2021 Brendan Lemieux. Brett Howden, a very divisive figure for Rangers fans. I mean, I think Brett has a better season. I think it's almost one of those things where he gets so much hate that people does, you know, because he's been gifted a lot of opportunity because Quinn is obviously a fan of him. He wasn't ready. He should have spent time in the AHL the past two seasons. The fact that he didn't is wild to me. But that being said, I do think there, if he is in a bottom six role, I do think he can eventually become a good third line center. I think you might need to put him with someone who is a little bit more offensively creative because he's a straight line player. I think he's not a guy you want. He's a guy you want doing the little things, but you need a big picture guy on that line. So hell, if you put him with, if he starts out, if Quinn is hell bent on trying to make Brett Howden a top nine player and has a third line that is Howden playing on maybe, you know, maybe Lafreniere on the left wing, Hedl as that third line center, and then Howden on the right wing. Yeah, I could see him having a better season, especially if he doesn't have to be the one to transition the puck. He's just the one who does what he's good at is doing the little things, you know, win, tie up face offs, penalty killing, you know, that type of thing. So I could see, I think it's most likely Brett has a better season this year. And like I said, he's almost become so, people think he's so overrated that he's now kind of underrated.
Well, Quinn's not going to let him have a bad year. Quinn will.
That's true. Definitely
not. This kid will.
He will force me to ice time.
They're gonna send Ryan Strome down to the fourth line, and this kid will be centering Panarin. It'll just be him and Panarin. They won't even add another winger to the line because Quinn loves Howden so much. Listen, Quinn won't let this guy fail. You can see those like the above signs. Fill the whole thing up with it.
Okay.
Fill the whole thing up with it because that's exactly what Quinn is thinking in his head. Yes. Thank you.
David Quinn. Yes. The comparator allows for emphasis. Thank God.
And realistically, you're going to get the same thing as you got last year. I honestly don't even know if the kid realizes he's on the New York Rangers. I really don't. I just think he's like, he would have the same mannerisms as if he was playing in a men's league or also in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Again, you know, Brett is a guy that I've been very tough on, but I do see what the value in what he brings. And I do think, you know, there's people like Corey Pronman who just released, you know, James and I were talking this week off air about Corey Pronman just released his like top 200 players under 20 or something like that, or under 22, 20, was it 22 or 24? I think it was under like 23. 23, sorry. And Brett Howden made that list, which was wild to me because I think there are so many good prospects out there. But yeah, I think you tend to forget that there is value to what Brett brings. I do think he can be a good 3C in this league eventually. You know, I just think he's missed important development time where he should have most likely been in the AHL and probably would have flourished because he's, you know, physically gifted in terms of his skating ability for his age and his size and his strength for his age. So he should have been there to begin with, but whatever. You know, like James said, David Quinn will not let this kid fail. Next, Phil DiGiuseppe.
I hope he shoves it. He shoves it in my face. I hope he has a really good year.
Yes. So this was weird. Phil DiGiuseppe comes in from Hartford, and he actually gets off to a really good start, and then slowly peters out like most, you know, 13th forward players do. You know, as they get that quick hit of adrenaline from getting NHL minutes, and then they kind of slowly fade into the background. You know, he was in the bubble. He was pretty much, I don't want to say a no-show. It's just, it looked like he was working really hard and wasn't getting anything done. I think at this point, he's nothing more than, like you said, a 13th forward. He's going to be battling it out with guys like Rooney, who have just been, you know, assigned to be, you know, bottom six direct grindy defensive forwards. And, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, he was at times he was playing with Mika, right? Or
yeah,
or yeah. So I don't think that's ever happening again. So I don't think there's any way in which DiGiuseppe gets close to the highs he had, even though his impact ultimately wasn't that great. But, you know, at least out of the gate, he was playing at times he was playing with Heedle, at times he was playing with Kako. And he was, yeah, he was doing the, like, being like Jesper Foss light. He was first in on the forecheck. He was digging pucks out, which is great. But I don't think he's going to be afforded those opportunities again, and like, rightfully so. So I think it's easy to say that Phil DiGiuseppe got his shots in the 1920 season, and it's not just not happening going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he'll be an important player if COVID like runs rampant through the team and you need, you know, guys have to sit out a couple weeks. I think you'll see him, DQ, basically put him in a role anywhere in the lineup. I think he's a good plug. Yeah, I do think he's going to play that 13th forward role, though. But right. Again, I think it's important. I think it's going to be a complete wash. I think no matter what, where you place him in the roster, I think it'll be a wash with him.
All right. That sounds good. I agree with that. There we go. He's a wash. Make those bigger. And then finally, now, and obviously, yes, this does not account for the comparator, does not account for players that might, like if Vitali Kravtsov comes over, if Tarmo Reunin and gets out of camp. This is just basic, you know, inputs for last season, this year, with who I think would be comparables in those slots. Finally, we have Michael Haley / Stephen Fogarty versus Kevin Rooney. Now, I mean, the Rangers in free agency signed Kevin Rooney because they were very upset with how bad their PK was. And Kevin Rooney, that seems to be the only thing he can do. Apparently he's a very good defensive player who cannot generate anything offensively, but he's good on the penalty kill. And, you know, according to Gibby, John Hines absolutely loved this guy, probably for that reason. You know, didn't see much out of Fogarty or Michael Haley. Fogarty, I think, has left, which is a hit for Hartford because he's a very good AHL player, but I think he signed with the Sabres, right? And yeah, I don't even know what happened to Michael Haley. His spleen exploded at one point, and then we just never saw him again. So I don't even know what his deal is. I don't know if he's under contract still or whatever, but I think it's pretty easy, you know, wish him the best of luck. But I think it's easy to say that Kevin Rooney is a clear upgrade from one of these guys, you know, whoever is getting riding wing shotgun on a fourth line, you know.
I just want to apologize to Michael Haley. I sent a lot of negative energy that way. So, Mike,
he exploded his spleen, James.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Get well soon.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say about this is because, I mean, I truly don't know. I mean, and I don't think anyone could sit here and say, well, Kevin Rooney's going to be playing that big of a role. So the emoji where the guy's like shrugging is probably the perfect fit for this comparator. But overall, I think it'll be a wash, slight advantage to Kevin Rooney, only because the statistics, I guess, are there for him being some sort of defensive guru when he's on the ice. So I guess slight advantage him, but could be a wash. I don't know.
Yeah. I have not. I do not have native support for emojis on the comparator yet, but I will work on it. So I still think that Kevin Rooney will at least have a more defined role, whereas Haley and Fogarty were plug-ins. So I think at very least Rooney will get penalty kill time. So I'm going to give him the advantage. But like you said, James, it could easily be a wash because we just don't know at this point. This is like I said, the comparator is a predictive, but it's just being that there is definitely room for variance in the final output.
Yeah.
Now we are on to the defense. Hold on. Can we see this with the... Yes, we can. All right.
Yeah.
My beautiful graphics are almost overtaking the screen. Adam Fox had an excellent rookie season. You know, I think he was snubbed with the Calder Trophy. I will die on that hill. There was very few defensemen in the NHL who had a better, both balanced offensive and defensive impact. His play driving ability is underrated. The way he moves the puck, his ability to defend despite not being a bigger, fast guy is remarkable. And because he had to work his way up the lineup last season, I think it's a no brainer that he's going to have a better year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this kid is going to be a special player, not only for the New York Rangers, but I think in the National Hockey League. I think he's part of that next generation of defense that You'll see blossom into, you know, the, I mean, shall I say Norris, but I think he'll be, I think he'll be one of the more premier Rangers on our team next year. I think overall across our roster, I mean, I think you'll be saying the names Mika, Artemi, and Adam all together. I really like him this year.
Yeah. What I like about Fox is that because he does everything by being smart and is not flashy, it kind of like you don't really realize what an excellent impact he has on your team. And I think that's he's a guy whose his contract numbers will be slightly, he'll be like be on a slightly, you know, a sweeter contract than most players in the National Hockey League. Like a guy like Makar, his skills just kind of scream at you, and thus he'll probably command a little bit more money. But I think Adam Fox, like, even if he's a guy who's like his offensive output is, he's always like, you know, amongst the top of defensemen, never maybe the tippy top, because he's not like a game breaker in that way. But then you realize that his overall impact is way better, but it's harder to quantify two-way play and transition play. And thus he will never, you know, he'll be worth way more money than he makes in his career, which is good for Rangers fans. Probably not so good for Adam Fox, but yeah. His ride or die, Ryan Lindgren. This is tough. On one hand, I think obviously the way if those two are stapled at the hip, if Fox gets more time, then Lindgren gets more time too, and it helps him out. But yeah, at the same time, you know, it's tough because I don't know. I think Lindgren at times I think in a perfect world, he is more of a third pairing defenseman, but he definitely rose to the challenge. And like, he's another one of those players, I think, especially in the bubble, that when he just goes out and plays and just is reactive and just is decisive, he looks really good. And there's some, especially in the playoffs, like those are the type of guys you need that are just willing to make something happen and just do it. So I think, yeah, you'd have to say he will have a better season because he will get more ice time along with his D partner, Adam Fox. But yeah, at the same time, I could see him struggling if those two have to take on tougher competition from the gate, you know, out of the gate.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. Do you think he's playing for his next sweater? Because I think it's going to be one of those seasons where he's going to realize, like, we have all this talent up and coming. Where do I fit in with this team? Where do I fit in with this organization? Am I going to, you know, eventually get traded? So I think he's going to take, and I think he's the type of kid that he'll take advantage of whatever role he's given. And I think you'll see him, you know, blossom again alongside Fox and, you know, really develop his game. I think he'll get a lot more out of Ryan Lindgren this year. More consistent game out of Ryan Lindgren.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. We're getting close to 50 minutes, so we'll try to maybe speed this up a little bit. Yep. Tony D. Now gets the bridge. He knocked it out of the park in a show me deal. As good as he was last year on that show me deal, I think if Adam Fox is going to get a little bit more overall responsibility, I don't know. You know, there's been talk of him switching sides to keep him, you know, maybe on the as a top four defenseman. So yeah, does that affect him? I don't know. Does he do that as effectively? Does it hamper him? Does it help his goal output but hurts his assist output? I don't know. Does he still get the premier power play time? These are all questions I have. I'm going to say overall, I don't think he knocked it out of the park. He was fifth in I think even strength scoring for a defenseman, or just I think scoring in general. But I don't know if he hits exactly that high. I don't think he'll be much worse. If anything, I think he might have a better defensive game. He doesn't have to babysit Mark Stahl, you know, unless they put him with Jack Johnson, then we'll see. But yeah, I think overall it ends up being a wash. I think his offensive output maybe might not be as high, but I think not having to like, I think he'll have another year of he'll be healthy, so he won't have the problems he had in the bubble. I think his partner, whoever it is, even whether it's Truber, you know, or Brendan Smith, I'm not sure, but I think at the very least he'll be more steady defensively, and I think it ends up being a wash.
Okay, like I told you before, there's the three biggest bridges in New York are the George Washington, the Brooklyn Bridge, and then the Tony D'Angelo contract. I feel like all we do is bridge this kid. I don't know if he can live up to the hype once again. Like, he's proven himself time and time again, but eventually you're going to have to see him like digress a little bit. Defensively, defensively, I hope he's a little bit better. Offensively, I think he's going to, you know, pull back a little bit. I don't think he'll have the points that he did last year. So I'm going to say it's a complete wash. You'll pretty much get the same thing out of him. I don't know how much better he can possibly get offensive wise last year. So I really do think if his numbers aren't there, I think he's going to take a lot of heat. So again, I'm going to have to say that it's a wash to a little bit of a digression.
He was a guy who it seemed that he disappointed Rangers fans for what they were expecting, but he was definitely our best defenseman in the bubble. And I think that just kind of showed that he is a guy, we've talked about this before, that he's a guy that needs to be engaged and pressured, because during the regular season, you know, you see him very flat footed sometimes, just kind of like looking around. And it's only when guys are starting to get chippy with him that he gets really involved, and you see him use his skating more and really bounce off guys and lean on them and use them as, you know, he likes to fight through pressure, and he needs that physical engagement. So I think Trouba understands he had a bad season last year. Him and Brady Shea did that whole, like, do you want the puck or should I have the puck? Do you want to rush the puck out or should I rush it out? I don't think you have that anymore. You know, whether he plays with Tony and he knows exactly, like, my job is to get the puck to Tony, and then if someone tries to, like, take advantage of us down low, is to just be a son of a bitch to play against. So I think based on him being better in the bubble, knowing he had a disappointing season, and knowing that he'll have a more defined role, I think he's going to be better next season.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. I'll keep this short and sweet. I thought he was one of our better defensemen in the bubble when he played that big physical game. Now that, you know, his best friend is out of here, I think he can concentrate on just playing Jacob Trouba game instead of the Brady Shea and Trouba game.
Yeah. Speaking of Brady Shea out, goes to the Carolina Hurricanes for a first round pick we used to eventually select Braden Schneider, which is awesome. And Anthony Boteto in. I'm going to say this is a slight, because Shea was playing top 4 minutes. You know, I think Boteto can do just fine in that bottom pairing role, but I think just in terms of that, you're losing a top 4 defenseman and bringing in more of a, you know, a bottom pairing defenseman, you know, or even an extra defenseman, that I think you have to give the advantage to what Brady was doing, even if he wasn't flourishing at times.
Yeah, I'm going to say that, you know, if these guys had the same stat line, you'd be like, well, Brady Shea underachieved, and you'd say, whoa, you know, Boteto overachieved. Yeah. I'm going to pencil in Boteto for, you know, the 15 to 20 point mark. I think if you get that out of him as a, you know, bottom pairing defenseman, I think that'll be great. I mean, you just basically want him to stay even. And if he can do that, he's got NHL experience, so I think he'll be an asset. I think it's a step in the right direction given where they were in our lineup.
Yeah, I could have slotted him next to as the replacement for Mark Stahl, and I would give the advantage to Boteto. But
yeah, absolutely.
You know, just trying to. We have the perfect replacement for Mark Stahl, so we'll get to that. Right. Brendan Smith, now a guy who was a forward at the time. You know, he's a fourth line forward. You know, penalty kill. Now that they've said he is a defenseman. His role is kind of weird now with, you know, he's going to be battling it out with Jack Johnson and Boteto. I don't know if that, he was good in the bubble, you know, through some big hits. He was playing, he was one of our better defensemen in the bubble. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know this is the last year of his contract, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So kind of hard to tell what's going to happen, but I'm going to say, yeah, this is a tough one. I guess I'm going to say a wash because I think he – a wash maybe leaning towards a regression, because I just feel like with more competition, if he doesn't distinguish himself early, then he might be an odd man out yet again, because they've shown he's been sent to Hartford in the past. He's been sat, but they were really happy with his versatility. They like his versatility. We know that. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe they just see him again as more of the plug-and-play guy, but I'm just not sure. I'm honestly not. This is the hardest one for me to predict, honestly. He is getting older, too. He's, you know, he's turned the corner on 30, so.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he can't do any, pretty much can't do any worse than his point production. I thought when he plays his physical role in the bubble, he was, you know, he was great at times. But, again, can he do that over an 82-game season? I don't know. For me, it's going to be a complete wash. I'm leaning towards he'll be a little bit better next year.
Yeah, I think so too. I think as long as if they just say, like, even if it's like, nah, he's not always in the lineup, but they're like, whenever you're in the lineup, this is what you're going to be doing.
Right.
And he has more defined role. I think that can help him out. So let's just say it's a wash.
And if an injury happens, I think he can be plugged in anywhere.
Yeah. And finally, for the defense, Mark Stahl out, Jack Johnson in. Now, I think based on everything we've heard, I think for the most part that we will not have Jack Johnson getting the minutes that Mark Stahl was getting. Two of the worst, you know, in terms of underlying numbers, players, defensemen in the NHL. Jack Johnson apparently good on the penalty kill. I don't know if that's actually true, but, you know, I mean, I think this is, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what is their deployment. Jack Johnson seems to be there as a veteran voice and as was a favorite to Jacques Martin, so who with comfortability and like the player. So I'm going to lean Jack Johnson only based on it will be less, he will not be getting the minutes that Mark Stahl was getting. Hopefully they learn from that. But again, this organization has let me down before. But I'm going to say Jack Johnson based solely on the fact that his deployment will be nowhere near over his head like Mark Stahl was.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me at the beginning of, the beginning of the offseason and the free agent season, that we would have a tough comparison for the replacement of Mark Stahl, I would say you're absolutely crazy.
But here we are.
Again, I agree with pretty much everything you said. It really can't get much worse. Hopefully, you know, Jack Johnson just embraces his role as, you know, a bottom pairing, playing 12 minutes a game, and just, you know, doesn't drive the Ranger fan base crazy like Mark Stahl did.
Yeah. And finally, we have goaltending. Now, I didn't want to go, the comparator didn't have enough memory to compute the three-headed goalie tandem and how that bared out. So I just basically, I was able to tweak some things and work it down to basically just the total sum of goaltending. Because honestly, if you look at games played and, you know, roll down the stretch, even though Shuster, you could kind of say it was pretty much an even split. You know, Hank got the lion's share of the games in the beginning. Georgiev got the lion's share of the game in the middle. And then Shesterkin got the lion's share of the games towards the end. So just does a 1A, 1B situation of Shesterkin and Georgiev going into next season, is their goaltending, you know, play and output better than the three-headed goalie tandem we had? Because a goaltending was the least of our problems, you know? It's like when one guy faltered, it was next man up, and everyone kind of did a pretty good job. But now we have at least certainty, and you have two guys that are pushing each other for maybe thinking of that starter spot.
Yeah.
It's just starting the starter.
I believe two heads are better than one. Three heads are better than none. I don't know if that's a saying, but if it is, I just made it up. Credit to me. I am going to go with that we are going to have a much better, consistent goaltending situation next year. There's no way in any world that a three-headed goalie situation is better than the two, you know, I don't even care who the three are or who the two are. It's just, you need two goalies. It'll be balanced this year. I like it. Both will be more comfortable. Georgie finally knows where his role is for the next 2 years with the Rangers. I think they'll be more relaxed. They'll be better. Just, yeah, way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. I just moved some things around so you could see down here what we got going on. I couldn't agree more. It's basically that with, because as well as all three goaltenders did under the circumstances, I just think even in terms of just the team not having to deal with the who's starting in net, just having the more certainty this team has next season, the better. I think that's what the front office wants. They want to figure out what is, you know, they have a lot of experimenting that they have to do as the more players come in. And I think they're looking forward to getting things set. So yeah, I think that, to your point, James, that just having Shesterkin and Georgiev just kind of pushing each other, there's a little bit more one-upsmanship when there's two guys as opposed to when you have three guys fighting for the same net. That's a little different because one guy is always going to be, whether rightfully or wrongly or injury or whatever, will be put on the sidelines. And then it's just kind of, it makes it hard. And then you have mentally it's harder to contend with. It's like, do I play well enough? Am I in? Does this guy, does he need to get starts because he's not fresh? And they don't have to deal with that anymore.
And not to mention the third head on that goalie trio was, was the face of the New York Rangers, you know, for the last 15 years. So again, once he's removed, he's taken out of the picture. Thank you, Hank. But it'll allow these players, the two goalies, to basically, you know, find their role with the team and not have the pressure of playing under Hank, over Hank. I think that can wear a lot mentally over the course of a season.
Okay, so we're coming up on an hour, so we'll wrap this up. If our final tally, you know, I don't even have to count. It looks like we have a lot more advantage for next season. I think this is obviously an oversimplification. I think offensively we have a little bit more certainty, which is good, but the offense wasn't the Rangers' problem last season. Their problem was defense. I still think they, at least by playing, having more certainty that this is what they're working with, I think they should be better. We don't know if Atarmo Reunion could come in and fight for spot out of camp, but we do know that they don't feel beholden to play Mark Stahl more minutes. Fox and Lindgren should be able to eat more time right from the get-go, which means they might have Trouba and Tony on a second pairing where if Tony switches sides, which he said he did in junior in Sarnia and that he's comfortable doing it and he wouldn't mind doing it. Especially, I think he knows that if it's his best chance at longevity in playing for the Rangers, which he clearly loves playing in this market, loves being here, then yeah, I think he'll make it work. And then as long as your bottom pairing is some combination of Brendan Smith, Boteto, and Jack Johnson, whoever's starting where, because I know Brendan Smith has also played on both sides, but yeah. I think as long as if they can ride that top four of Fox, Lindgren, Trouba, Tony, and then just the bottom pairing, you know, getting heavy PK time and then just getting a little bit less, I think it should be okay. As far as the defensive play of the forwards, you know, hopefully Kevin Rooney makes a difference. Hopefully another year for the kid. Hopefully Kako being a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, a little bit more assertive, a little bit more comfortable, will be able to work on his play off the puck, because it was bad at times, flat out bad. You know, I know he's definitely more of a mercurial one. He's more of an offense guy, but Hedl made big strides. Lafreniere's play with the puck is actually pretty good when he's motivated, but he is a rookie and there will be an adjustment, so it might be a wash. So yeah, I think the Rangers are basically hoping that some of their a little bit more certainty in positions will help alleviate maybe some growing pains for some of the younger guys as they take on more role, because that's obviously the last thing that comes, right? It's just like you first learn out how to play with the puck in the National Hockey League and how to make things going, you know, offensively, and then you get to your play off the puck. So yeah, I think overall offensively this will be just as potent, if not more so, team than last year. You know, the hope is that even with your top guys, your Kreider, Zibanejad, Panarins, and Strome, those top six guys not hitting the heights they hit, that some of the heavy lifting will be able to be taken over by the youngsters down their lineup, especially with the influx of young talent comes in. Who knows if a Kravtsov makes a play at any after his KHL season is done. But I think they're hoping for more balance out of their lineup. So even if they don't have as the gaudy numbers that they had, you know, number one team in defenseman scoring, Mika close to winning a Rocket, Panarin almost winning the Hart Trophy, that overall they have more balance and it makes for a better or at least a more solid product on the ice.
Yeah, there's one thing that you missed here with all this computing. The coaching, our defensive coach,
Jacques Martin. Yeah, I should have did a rough, and I thought about actually doing coaching, but then I was like, you know, then I didn't want to not put Greg Brown and Dale Oliver and all that. But I guess it's basically if coaching as a whole, you know, Quinn and staff last year versus Quinn and new staff, you know, you'd have to hope that Ruff out and Martin in is an upgrade. But we'll see. It's kind of a lot of unknowns. This is the guy that vouched for Jack Johnson to come in. But at the same time, Pittsburgh has been a pretty good defensive unit the last few years, despite if you look at some of the defensemen they had and won cups with. Yeah, who knows? So hopefully that carries over.
Yeah, I mean, so this is how I'm going to end it. Basically, looking at the entire offense as a whole, I think you'll get a wash. Hopefully, we're more balanced in terms of scoring. Defensive-wise, I think you're going to see a little bit better. I hope our defensive game, even as a whole with the whole team, I really hope that we pay attention to our D zone coverage and we don't allow as many grade A chances and goaltending. I think it's a fresh start for both of them that, you know, Hank is gone. They lose that kind of pressure of it's awkward playing above Hank, you know, Hank sitting on the bench, you're always going to pay attention to that. Even if you're a young kid playing in any market and the goaltender is like, you know, God on the team. So again, I hope goaltending will be better. So overall, things are looking up for the Rangers. I don't know if we're a playoff team, but we're sure as hell we'll be competitive.
Yeah, it's my hope too. And again, thank you for everyone. If you're watching this, this is our first foray into video element for the podcast, and we're going to do more. We're hoping to do live shows, you know, and live streaming at certain times when we can get our schedules right, maybe during the holiday season, closer to the start of camp. But yeah, I mean, there, you know, free agency didn't really turn out how most fans had hoped. They had lofty goals for, and things kind of just, we got some retreads and some patches, but you know, it's kind of one of those things that you get a wheel alignment and it makes all the difference in the world, even though you didn't really add anything, but you just kind of tweak the chassis. And yeah, hopefully things are a bit more stable next year and that pays dividends, especially because you're going to need it if you're going to have a lot of, you know, we didn't talk about the fact that Morgan Barron and Patrick Kotarenko could fight for spots, but, you know, and Reunion and all these guys. But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. But yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Thank you everyone for joining us on this first ever, I guess technically not live because you won't get this live, but it will be live going forward on the Broadway Boys podcast. And we will see you all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.